chapter number 2, the book of John. And I'm going to look at the first 11 verses. I'm going to look at the very first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that we can gain some pertinent things for our soul from this. Book of John, chapter number 2. And let's read together. It says, "On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were sent there the water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and was manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are a great God. And Lord Jesus, you prove through miracles, through your abilities, who you are. We thank you for that. We pray that you will bless now as we study this great text. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please go ahead and be seated. To preface the entire thoughts today, this particular miracle is often used by people to justify their drinking of alcoholic beverage. And often what they say, well, was Jesus turned water into wine. That is a very true statement. He did. We do not deny that. And I will say to you this, the water or the wine Jesus gives you, drink it. But the wine that Jesus gives you will not be contradictory to other scriptures. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that wine is a mocker and strong drink raging thereby. The Lord says we are fools who partake. And so we ought to judge this in context with the entire Word of God. The word wine can mean anything from grape juice up through an alcoholic drink. May I suggest to you this morning that this wine was newly made and didn't have time to ferment. It was that which was grape juice. That which the Lord gave to them, that was a very common thing of that particular day. Well, let's look at this. Just by the way, just don't make that excuse around me. I just won't buy it. I've had people who have attended this church get mad at me over this. I've had folks leave our church over this, believe it or not. And it's silly that we would want that kind of thing. I told one individual, I said, you know, you want to think it's right, but I says that offends me, and the Bible says that you ought not do that which offends a brother, so you ought to be abiding by that scripture. But when people want to do things, they figure out they're going to do it anyways. Have you figured that out? Yeah, we do that, don't we? Well, let's look here and notice some things. When Pharaoh would not recognize the authority of God in Moses, God instructed him to smite the waters of Egypt. And when he did, they were turned to blood. That was the very first miracle, really. His first plague of judgment was that water turned to blood. Let's consider this morning that the first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ in grace was He turning the water not to blood, but to that which is very drinkable, that which is good for you. By the way, grape juice is extremely good for you. And it do you well to partake of it often. The law brings judgment, but grace brings joy. Amen? And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ, as He comes on the scene, in His graciousness, bringing joy to this wedding feast. Let's look at, first of all, the place of the miracle. In regards to its chronology, we find that it is the first miracle of the Lord Jesus. Notice verse number 11, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. I made some comment of this a few weeks ago, but there are those who believe that Christ performed miracles as a child. And there's some writings of such, and they take those as fact and run with a lot of stories concerning that. But the Bible is very specific. This was the beginning. What's that mean? It's the first one. It's where He started at. And so we need to understand that. As we think about this in regards to not only the place, but the time period, we find that there's a really kind of a diary of the first of this book. Day number one, we find back in chapter one, John is approached by the Pharisees. Day number two, as we look and we study, we notice that he's baptized of John the Baptist in the River Jordan. On day number three, he calls the disciples John and Peter. And then day number four, in verses 43 to 51 of chapter 1, we find there is the calling of Nathanael. Now, that's just before this thing. And so here we find the third day after his calling. Notice what it says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana. And so we're in the same locality, and we find now Cana of Galilee is the home of Nathanael, and is probably then the reason for the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to this particular feast. And so we find that as Nathanael has been called to the Lord, we know that he has seen the omnipotence of the Lord. We've seen he's an omniscience or omnipresence, I should, as the Lord saw him. If you go back and you notice that God had seen Nathanael previous, made remarks to it, and of course Nathanael, as a result of that, puts his trust in the Lord. And of course now he's going to see the omnipotence of the Lord as he turns this water into wine. There's something else that I consider when I look at this. Cana of Galilee is not necessarily a very popular area. It's not necessarily a place that is a worldwide community everybody knows about. Have you noticed that the world doesn't know too much about Council Bluffs, Iowa? More have heard of Omaha, but not a whole lot of Council Bluffs, though we were here first, though it is from here that the Union Pacific built westward and out of Oakland, come from the west to the east, and they met at Promontory Point, and we find that great history. You just don't find too many folks, you get very far from here, that know Council Bluffs. It's just not a well-known community. How many know where Quick, Iowa is? Are you serious? Many of you folks don't know where Quick, Iowa is? How many don't know where Quick, Iowa is? I mean, just be honest for a minute. All right, you take Highway 6 and you head east, you go through an intersection about 6-8 miles out, and when you pass through, if you had seen the sign, you'd say, well, that was quick. There's a Grange Hall, or an old one there, and a gas station, if it's still there. I haven't been out that direction for a while, with a little quick shop type thing in it. And maybe one house right there. See, you didn't even know that. How many know where Dumfries, Iowa is? Sean and Dorothy, you don't know where Dumfries is? You live almost next door to it. Okay. Another little community that's out there. We just, some of those things, they're not well known. True? Here's a little town. It's not really well known, but Jesus is there. And that tells me something. That tells me that He beholds everything. And Christ does not ignore that which is humble or small. He loves all of us. And so the place of this miracle is just fantastic. By the way, another thing we ought to stop and consider is that it celebrates the marriage covenant. And so the Lord goes to this particular wedding. Well, we find that at this wedding, there is a problem. And the problem is they have run out of wine. That was a no-no. That was to be taken care of. There was to be plenty for the guests that were to come. But it does not last. This feast was something that would go on for several days. To run out of food and to run out of drink was not only embarrassing, but in that day a fine could be levied upon the bridegroom, men failing to provide for an appropriate wedding gift. It would just simply not to take place. And so what do we find? We find a tremendous problem here. And I look at that and marriages have problems, don't they? Yeah, all of them do. I am trying to keep my mouth shut. Bill went to... I'll leave you alone, Danny. Glad to see you back, Dina. They went up to Niagara Falls last week and had a great time up there. Did you almost lose her up there? No, I'm just joking with you. There's a little funny story with all that. Bill went to the emergency room last night. He'd fallen yesterday and had hurt himself really bad and had a great big knot in his arm. They finally decided to go up to the emergency room. And the doctor wanted to know what happened. And he said, spousal abuse. It didn't fly too well with Patty. It didn't work, did it? Then he asked him if he was having much pain, and Bill said, well, yeah, but I have a great tolerance for pain. And he says, you do? He says, yeah, I've been married 42 years. So, was I supposed to tell all that, Bill? Okay. I do fear it's probably going to get to her. But she already heard it, didn't she? But just kidding around a little bit. But marriages do have problems. But when it's taken to the Lord, there are solutions. And so we can see that in this particular thing. Well, this problem is reported to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the mother of Jesus comes to Him and says they have no wine. And the Lord says this, woman, verse 4, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now that's a strange answer in some regards. And when she comes and makes that statement, I would say she's rebuked of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think it's her words that are rebuked. I don't think it's because she's expressed a problem that she's rebuked, because He does not say anything about that. But I do believe that there is a problem here. And notice how He answers her. What is the first word He uses to her? Woman. By the way, that word woman means taken out of man. And so there's very great significance in that. But the use of woman was given here, I believe, because He wasn't under her authority. She is mom, but she needs to recognize that He is now really God in the flesh. And that she is under His authority. Woman, What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He states to her that there is a clear path that he is to trot. And in this rebuke, he never ever says that he's not going to address the problem. And it's interesting when I read this and see this, she does not respond negatively. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so she responds to the servants and basically saying, hey, you need to listen to him. As I've had to listen to him. And so the Lord Jesus now is going to take care of the problem. Notice in verse number 6. It tells us there were 6 water pots of stone. And notice what it says. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, these stone pots were used to hold water for washing, to purify. That was their purpose, that people might wash with them. They were very large. It says 2 or 3 firkins apiece, and basically that means somewhere between 17 and 25 gallons of water each. Those are some big pots. If you've ever seen a 55-gallon drum of oil or whatever was in that, you take half of that. What are the half-barrel sizes? Who knows? Are those 20s? 25? What are they? They're 30s? Who's talking? Danny? Okay. And so they're something of that size. They're going to contain a lot of water. So a half barrel is about yay big around. It's going to stand about so tall. And when they're filled up, by the way, they can weigh a lot. A 55-gallon full of oil can weigh around 600 pounds. Those can weigh around 325. I know I dropped one on my toe once. The only broken bone I've ever had was a toe. And you know how they got a little rib, 2 or 3 little ribs going up them? That's what hit my toe as I was seeking to move it and slipped. It was full. But 17 to 25 gallons. This meant that these 6 water pots would hold somewhere between 100 and 150 gallons of water. Keep that one in mind as we consider what we're going to look at here in just a moment. This puts the miracle on par with perhaps the feeding of the 5,000. We're talking about a big bunch of water being turned into wine. Remember something, the Lord, when He does things, is always very liberal in His doings. Amen? And so we notice that. So let's notice a couple other things. He saith unto them. He saith unto them. He is going to incorporate other people in the miracle. Oftentimes, God is doing miraculous things through His people, and sometimes we don't even really realize it. And so He's saying to them something that they are to do. He said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. Now we've got to find out who has really done this in the past. How many grew up in a house where you had 4 bedrooms and a bath? You had 3 bedrooms and a bath. Bill, how many know what I'm talking about? You didn't have a bathroom. How many grew up in a house you didn't have a bathroom? Okay. How many grew up in a house you didn't have running water in it? Running water was what? Going to the pump and bringing it back in. Okay. First house that I can remember was up north of Woodbine. We had a pump. Thankfully, it was not too far outside the door. You got and pumped that. We had a little dinky one that actually pumped it out of a cistern that we could use inside the house. But it was rather slow. And so if you really wanted a good amount of water, you went outside, you grabbed a pail, and you filled that and you brought it in. I saw some hands. How far was the pump away from your house? Bill? Who? Somebody? About 75 foot? Whose hand was up over here? About 30 foot? Ours about... Anybody have it even farther than that? Now let's go back to this day and let's understand something. In most cities, there was one well. There weren't two. There was one water hole. And so the entire town would go to that particular water hole. What we even experienced, many of us who grew up on the farm and carried water just a little ways, they might have to carry it a greater distance than that. Now let's stop and think again. How many gallons? 100 to 150. How many trips? Depends on how big a container they were carrying, wasn't it? If it was a gallon, they had 100 or 150 trips. How many servants? Don't know. What we're talking about here, brethren, is hard work. What's a gallon of water weigh? How much? 7 pounds? If it feels heavier than that. And they were carrying this water a good distance. We're talking about not something easy. So when we're looking at a miracle, we're seeing something else that's taking place. I want us to get this into our hearts and our minds. And they filled it up, it says, to the brim. The Lord Jesus Christ expects you and I to work, doesn't He? He takes care of us, but He's not running a welfare program. It's a privilege to be involved in the work of God. It's a privilege to be involved in working to see Him provide. Remember the stone that was in front of the grave of Lazarus? Did He move it? No. Remember the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000? Did he take care of all the remains and all the work? No. He wants you and I to be involved. May I suggest to you today, we might see more miracles if we were more willing to work. This goes with a little phrase. I saw it written again this week. God helps those who help themselves. I think Ben Franklin said that, but it's not in the Bible, but it is a principle. And so you and I, we must be willing. So we notice this tremendous miracle takes place, but miracles and blessings very often come with commands. Improve our obedience to Him, and we may improve our blessings from Him. So He told them, fill the water pots. What did they do? They filled them. Would water have been turned into wine had they not done it? Good question. I doubt it. But notice also, it says in verse number 8, He said to them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. What are they drawing out of? What kind of pots? Well, they're stone pots. What were they used for? Washing. So now the Lord says, after they filled them up, take those same containers and draw out, or maybe they were clean now. I don't know. After that much water, they ought to be clean. Amen. And He said, now I want you to draw that out and take it to the people. So, you have run your dishwater. It's in the sink, and somebody's thirsty. And what do? You grab a glass, you dip it in the dishwater, you don't have soap in it yet, and you take it to your guest. How many do that? You're not going to do that. Nick says he does. Why do I believe you, Nick? And it reminds me of a cartoon years ago that I saw. And it was Dennis the Menace, and he wanted water, and his dad got up and got him water, and he comes into the drinks for water, and Dennis says to him, "I didn't want bathroom water, I wanted kitchen water." And you and I, we wouldn't do that, and yet that's what he's asking them to do. Do we get the picture? Okay. So they draw it out, and they bear it, because that's what it says, verse number 8. And they bear it. Interesting. They filled them to where there is no more room. And now the Lord says to get them out. By the way, how many stood around and applauded the servants when the wine came? Nobody did. No. Who gets the applause? The governor of the feast, who, by the way, doesn't even know what happened. Interesting. And so often in our lives, when we're doing that which God wants us to do, we're not going to be recognized. But I do want you to see something. Who knew what happened? The servants. Who got to see this firsthand? Those who were obedient. Amen? Yeah. That teaches me something. That teaches me that whatever I put myself into, I will receive the blessing from God because of it. If I am to teach, I put myself into it, the blessing comes from God. It means, by the way, as a teacher, as a parent, if we're going to invest our lives in others, we better have something that we can draw out of. We better have went and got the water of the Word and stored it in the soul of our old stone-cold hearts, that we might be able to draw it out to give it unto the others. And we're the ones who get to see the wonderful miracles of God when we're willing to do what He tells us to do. Well, verse 9 says, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water," what? "Knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But that which, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." That tells me something else. What Jesus does is always better than what we can do. What they had provided previously was good, but not as good as what Jesus had given. And you and I, when we'll be willing to simply listen to Him, follow His instructions, we will get to see the miraculous hand of God. Let me give an illustration. One of the greatest privileges I've had in my life is to be able to lead somebody to Christ. I mean, when somebody prays and you're right there, and you've heard that prayer of faith go up to the Lord, there's nothing quite like that. And that doesn't happen unless we open our mouths and tell people about Christ. Unless we're willing to give them the gospel as He says to do so. Unless we're willing to sow that seed. To see a child gain some spiritual knowledge and learn some application. To see the lights go on in their mind. That's a thrill. But it doesn't happen until we are willing to invest in that and give ourselves to it. God is a miracle God, but He doesn't do it for the lazy. We must be willing to allow Him to use us in the miracles. And therein be the problem. So often we have as God's people, we don't put ourselves in the position for Him to do the miraculous. And we take ourselves out of the equation. I've heard people say, well, God never does that for me. Maybe the problem is they haven't done it for God. That they might use it, or that He might use that to bless in their hearts and their lives. Thoughts for us to really consider today. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much. We have the privilege on this day to look in Your Word and to see this tremendous miracle that took place. And Lord, how You teach us through it that You want to use us in the miraculous. Use us to bring the nourishment of the wine into the lives of others. And Lord, how You will multiply it, how You will work through it when we're willing to take the time to fill the water pot and then to bear it into others. Lord, maybe You are people that are willing to allow the water of the Word to fill our heart and our soul, that we might bear the wine of it to a world that needs You. Bless and work in every heart and life. Bless in the hour to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.